Because before then, he had taught three things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, he mentions diversity of gifts. Then in verse 5, he mentions administrations. And then, administrations. Now, don't forget we said that the instructions Paul gave were for what? The gifts? Or what? The what? Huh? The gifts or which one? The ministries, which can call. So, why they call it ministry gifts? Because the gifts, the minister, the ministries, the minister what? The minister gifts. So, that's why they usually are called as ministry gifts. Now, look at, you know, we said that governments, that's the word cubanesis, means to rule. It's typical of the pastor. We related with tongues and interpretation, that the tongues, helping or supporting and ruling with tongues and interpretation. That is, we can apply helps and governments in that verse 28 in that light. Kubernetes is to rule, to place orderliness in something. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 40 quickly, where Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, the word decently and in order relates to what? Interpretation of tongues. Is that clear? That is, let all things. What are the all things he was talking about? Tongues. Let tongues be done decently and in order. And basically, he was talking about tongues, interpretation of tongues. So, what brings orderliness to tongues in the local church meeting is what? Is what? Interpretation of tongues. Excellent. So that word cubanesis, K-U-B-E-R-N-E-S-I-S, which is where you have government. It implies a pilot to guide in the administration of a gift in the body. So that's vital, which is oftentimes invested in persons. I think we talked about the issue of the younger and the elder in the elders. Hospital 5. Okay. Now let's look at one crucial area, and that is the issue of being called. Something I dealt with in that series as well. Being called. Now the term called, which we normally say, are you called? Am I called? He was called. If you study the epistles very well, the term called is related with salvation. The calling of God. What can be called the calling of God, where you have the word kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. Kaleo means to call or to mention. It's an active word that requires a response. Okay? It's used 148 times. Let's relate with Paul. How Paul relates with that word. Like I mentioned, it's oftentimes used for the grace of salvation. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 11 to 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice what he says. He put me in the ministry, verse 13 says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant through with faith, and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners of whom I'm chief. Now let me mention this because I think it's vital. You see, maybe particularly those who understand new creation truths, as we call it, they can be ignorant of the term consecration. Look at Paul saying, Christ came into this world of whom I'm chief. Why was he making mention of those things? I mean, a new creature, what is that passed away? He shouldn't be talking about that. He's a new man. He's talking about why he was injurious. You see, in consecration, you use terms that show that you are a product of grace. In consecration, you make it obvious. That's why you can sing a song like, come and take your place. It doesn't mean that Christ is not in you. But that's a term of consecration. Because you can't say, in my life, come and take your place. You can't say that, well, I'm always doing God's will. That's a lie. So it's a term to yet show that, see, you are a recipient of grace. And so you continue in such a life. So how can Paul say, of whom I am chief? I remember in the years back, I didn't like that phrase. I went into all the necessary canis. Is it of whom I try to say maybe I was chief. I was chief. All the texts I checked say I am chief. So I mean, why is he bringing that to the fore? It's because he is again restating his commitment to the gospel. When you restate consecration, you use terms like that. While Paul say, yet not I. I can't imagine. He's the one praying, no? He's the one saying, yet not I. But the grace of God that was with me. That is consecration. Just add that. So, of whom I am chief, how be for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should afterward believe on him to life everlasting. So he relates his call to the ministry to his salvation. You see it? Did you see it? Look at Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Verse 15 to 18. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, this is salvation, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So again, he relates this is being called in salvation. So in the New Covenant, the New Testament, calling most, if not all the time, is used for salvation. That's why we say 2 Corinthians 5:17, as he mentioned, you're a new creature in Christ in 17. In 18, he says he has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. And in 19, he says he has committed to you the message of reconciliation. So, what we call calling today is maturing into the work of ministry. You matured into it. Like I taught earlier, in looking at the spectacular, because you see the way ministry has been taught by people, many folks, has been to relate to this as a spectacular start. You don't know that outside. Please listen to this one now. Outside the book of Acts, you may not know how Paul began. You won't know it. You won't see him identify anything spectacular. Except 2 Corinthians 2, where he says, well, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or the way, I don't tell. That text has become, well, I was talking about when an historical fact is talking about Acts 9, another one is Acts 14. In Acts 14 too, he must have gone somewhere when he was stoned. He must have passed, you know, because he was taken for dead. So there's a, but either way, he doesn't paint it as a spectacular thing. He doesn't, you know, it relates ministry, like just the book of Acts as well, and 1st and 2nd Timothy. You know, you could have said that if you want to be a bishop, we'll ask you, have you seen the Lord? Did you see an angel? Nothing like that. It just relates the work of ministry to maturity. Look at Acts 9. In his own instance. Now, people ask questions, and I think we can look at it again. Why did Jesus appear to Paul in Acts 9? Primarily, why did he appear to Paul? He fell to the earth, verse 5, Acts 9, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I'm Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So, primarily, he didn't say, Saul, Saul, I have called you to the ministry. So the first statement we see is that he appeared to him because of the persecution of the church. That's the first thing. That's the first thing we see. And then, within that, was Paul himself. Now say, what do you have, what would you have me do? So, Paul could be seen as taking advantage of this experience. But the primary thing that experience was for was because of the persecution of the church. Because he wasn't doing this in a small measure. He was a major personality. He says here that he was breathing with threatenings and slaughter against disciples of the Lord. Went unto the high priest. He desired of him letters to Damascus. He found it on his way that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was all about that. So in that appearance, okay, in Acts 9, then you now have Ananias. Before we go to look at Acts 22. After Acts 10, this is his own account of the story. Ananias now spoke with him, okay? Look at his own story. Ananias spoke with him, God has chosen thee, verse 14, Acts 22. This is Paul's story now. I came, and then in verse 18, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. That is how he met him on the road. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. Then he says, and when the blood of Barabbas was shed, I was there standing by and consented to his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will set thee far, hence unto Gentiles. If you look at this story well, it spread in between when he got saved and much later. If you look at Acts 9, when did he leave Jerusalem? When did he leave? You know, and he went far to the Gentiles. Acts 9. This was after much preaching, after much time. Then he left. And basically that was when they sent him away. From verse 30. And sent him to Tarsus. So, you could see that there was a break of the events. His experience on the road, when he was in the house, when he passed, when he was in the trance, when Ananias came, and much later, then, he was now sent away. So, you could see that the first instance, what was spectacular and spectacular initially, was to stop the persecution. Because people were going to be killed. In Acts 9. He was taking letters, it says, for the slaughter in Acts 9:1. Are you following? Now, where the ministry of Paul became most prominent, or let me say, much confirmed, will be Acts 13. Where he said, we met the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where they have called them. This is very consistent. Now, much more consistent. We're going to see it in Timothy's life as well, and many other folks. It's consistent that within the local church, people now recognize by spiritual utterance that certain people were called to go into, you know, far places, of which was Paul. Well, very consistent. So Acts 13:2, for the work where to have called them. So, when did Paul begin the work? The work. Acts 13. But he had been involved in the local church before now. Right? Right? Acts 13. So, who sent him? The church. But he had been involved. So, the spectacular nature still did not authenticate it. Eventually, what authenticated it was what? The local church. It wasn't sufficient that it had a vision. Inasmuch as somebody bore witness of it, Ananias, there was a witness of the church. Things are done in an orderly fashion. The local church has a place, has a role. The body of Christ has a role. Now when they asked TB Joshua, you know, or Prophetic Joshua, sorry. That's his title now. And they asked him, when did you get born again? He said, in his mother's womb. Who were the people, you know, when did that ministry? He said, in his mother's womb. There's no other credential to be a false prophet than that. Are you the incarnate one? You know, you can't be more false than that. I mean, two critical things. When did you get born again? In my mother's womb. When did you begin ministry? That all the gifts that God, I read him say it myself. I said they misquoted him, but I don't think they did because the scripture was there. They asked him, when did you start ministry? He said, in his mother's womb, that he has seven gifts, seven power or something. I don't have a problem with power because sometimes illiteracy can make people say things funny. It doesn't mean it's wrong. Seven powers. He has just released one. That remains six. He, until otherwise proven, is a false prophet. Anyway, we have other people that were engaged. Aside the 12, we have people like Philip and Stephen. Nothing spectacular. Save the fact that the apostles called them and laid hands on them before the church. Just like Paul. Just like Paul's case in Acts 18, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Laying of hands doesn't necessarily mean you are ministering to the person. It could just mean you are confirming someone. They laid hands on them. So it wasn't sufficient that Jesus appeared to him. In Acts 6, the apostles laid hands on Stephen and Philip. Acts 6:6. They laid hands on them. Again, the church is involved. Then we find in Judas and Silas. We read about them, right? They were prophets. Acts 13. Judas and Silas. Oh, Acts 15, not 13. Verse 32. Prophets also themselves. Nothing spectacular. Even Agabus, we save his ministry. We don't hear an Agabus just had this, a snake appeared to him in the bush, and then he says, Agabus. You know, And look at Timothy, you know, a more example. Timothy had a parentage. He had his mom and his grandmom, 2 Timothy 1. That's what some people have today as their credential. Their mother and their grandmother. Sometimes their father and their grandfather. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Louis, and their grandmother Louis, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Now, the unfeigned faith he mentions here, 2 Timothy 1, 5. The unfeigned faith he mentioned here is an attitude. And a Christian, you're not talking about salvation, no? An attitude, unfeigned faith. You see it in 1 Timothy 1:5, an attitude that he had. That you can see that it was from his parents, both his grandmom and his mom. So I can see it in you, which he mentioned as sincerity, honesty, you know, that this fellow is just, I mean, you can see that he was well brought up spiritually. You know, but he didn't call that ministry. Are you listening? Then in verse 6, wherefore I put in remembrance that you stir up the gift that is indeed by the putting on of my hands. So it wasn't sufficient enough that he was brought up well by his grandparents and his mom. By the putting on of my hands. Now, let's look at the history of Paul and Timothy. Acts 16. That unfeigned faith, good conduct, good Christian living. It wasn't sufficient that, you know that, he has been seeing Jesus since last week. I've seen people, let me say this, it's good. I've seen people who had spectacular experiences and they saw the Lord Jesus. And I know they were not lying. And they are not in ministry. I know those who backslid. It's not a ticket to growth. There was a meeting we had, I forgot what year now, what was. And in the meeting, we had like three people that saw a vision of Jesus in one meeting. And they were not scoping. There was a full scope. But it doesn't make you a serious person. It's not quarter to anything. After all, people saw Jesus in that 3.5 years and nothing happened. Nothing happened. So even when he was here, nothing happened. So how much more in here? Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, the same disciple. Forget exactly what? So, what was he known for? What was he known for? He was learning. He didn't just have an encounter somewhere and he's frowning. What's happening? I'm not talking to anybody for 14 days. Why? I have a calling. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but the father was a Greek. Let's read verse 2 together. Which was well reported. Eh? Everybody, one more time now. Which was well reported by the brethren that were Lystra. That means they spoke well of him. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took a circumstance because of the Jews that were in the quarters. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. So, Paul adopted him. He didn't know him before. So, Timothy did not get saved under Paul. Even though, obviously, he got saved within his ministry, no doubt. But it's not as if he mentored him personally until now. So, nothing supernatural again. It's just that, it's just like Philip, Stephen, and even Paul and Barnabas, they matured. Do you understand? Is this very clear? Spectacular experiences do not confer validity upon ministry. For ministry is maturity. Maturity. I can tell you stories upon stories, but I don't want to color this teaching with experiences upon stories. That it really doesn't matter. It means stories upon stories upon stories of individuals who are spectacular occurrences. I'll just mention one, for example, my brother. Spectacular. When I say spectacular, very spectacular. And he passed on. And he was backsliding before he passed on. So he did nothing. It doesn't mean anything. People saw Jesus, and Ananias saw Jesus. At least that one was scared. You don't hear of him again. In fact, Paul's testimony of him didn't do well at all. Let me show you his testimony of him. Acts 22. We are seeing Acts 22. It's not that he abused him, but just the way he said it was summer. Acts 22. And one Ananias, verse 12. One Ananias, a devout man according to the law, Paul. When Paul talks like that, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there. And he saw vision and he was cool with it. So don't make anybody bamboozle you over vision. It was, let's see, are you mature? I told the story when I taught them in church. I did the same thing here in church. It was raining. So I said, and I sensed the rain. Don't be asking, hey! Listen down, shut up. That's glory in you. You understand? You must not be carried away by such things. Someone say you have seen Jesus, you have seen Paul, you have seen Judas, you have seen Ananias, you have seen Sapphira, you have seen everybody. But it doesn't come for prayer meeting. Better stop seeing them. So that you can start praying. Daddy won't stop you from praying. And you are still lying. Yeah, I went to heaven, I went to hell, I went to Midu, I went to Tartarus, I went to Edis, I went to stop going. Start coming to church. Start attending church so that you can grow. No man growing by those things. Okay. That one is Phaneru. Or Phanerusis or Apodexis. Spiritual growth is apocalypsis of epignosis. Just being around words. Okay. So there was nothing spectacular. You get it? Look at, so what did he do? He still laid hands on him, right? 1 Timothy 4:14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift which is in thee by the putting on, by giving by prophecy and putting on hands on the presbytery. Now that word giving thee is didomi, which is a very, very tricky word. It could mean put in. It could mean give to. It also could mean to pull out or to draw from. So that's why some intelligent scholars have said to make obvious. That is when hands are laid like that, because prophecy was given, it's to intimate you. To lay of hands is to intimate you by prophecy. Intimate you of what you already have. So again, let's follow this, please. Timothy, nothing supernatural. Whatever happened to Jesus, even that was supernatural in court, that is with John the Baptist and all of that, all that happened to Jesus, the spectacular nature of how we started ministry was not for him, it was for men. It was for men. And look at the 12 apostles. A very unique apostolic ministry they had. They will be eyewitnesses of his majesty. They were to be the apostles of the Lamb, foundational apostles as well. 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11, Ephesians 2:20. You know, they were eyewitnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection. Yet, their calling was not spectacular. Are you following my point? Was it spectacular? So, don't let anybody, because when you start having preachers tell you their stories and all that, and stories, this happened and this happened, my mother was talking to my stepmother told my stepfather, and they said, the Lord appeared to all of them, and an angel knocked their face together and said, I wrote your name. Jide, 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 Jide. So everybody begins to hear, me. Evil angels have not come around. You know. So it's important that we situate why things happen spectacularly. It may have reasons, but the truth is this. Ministry evolves. It evolves with time and over time. Now, let me mention this very well. In the body of Christ, a ministry gift must minister the word. I thought we have clarified that. So, the authority you have is not your visions. The authority you have is not how many angels you saw. As important as they are in your ministry, the authority is the authority of scriptures. Is that clear? And we respect people not based on what they do or what they are or who they are, sorry, but what they do. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We're there earlier. I always say it like this. It is sheer hypocrisy and stupidity to respect a minister elsewhere, no matter what the person is, beyond people that are directly over you. That doesn't make any sense. Because every time you are told to honor and respect, it's always related directly to those who are over your life. Hebrews 13:17. It's not all ministers of the gospel in the body of Christ that he's talking about. Obey them that have the rule over you. Does every man of God have the rule over you? No. They are specific. Not that when Paul says that, he said there are many gifts, so he said, but you know that, he said there are thousands of churches, but you have just one father. You don't have many fathers. I say, follow me. So, everybody must have a specific relationship that he can say, this is over me in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. Let's go. And we beseech you, brethren. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. Are you there? Let's go. I will beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you. To know what? To know. You have to know them that labor among you. Go on. And are over you in the Lord. And admonish you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Very, very instructive words. That are over you in the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:17. Count the elders that rule well, worthy of double honor. So, You are directed to certain individuals. There's a general respect and honor you give to ministry gifts in the body of Christ, which has to be, but there is a specific respect, regard you have for those who are over you. Those who teach you every Sunday, every Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, those who send you materials, those who ensure that you grow spiritually, those who watch over you, those who pray with you. Those are the people that scripture tells you to honor. Not a blank check, you know. Are you following my point? Alright. So, that means the respect is based on labor. We look at people's labor and so on and so forth. So, We've started the issue of health. Now, let's now explain some ministries that are in the local church where we can use health loosely. The word antilepsis, which means to support, helps, which has the same root word as to minister, to assist, or to give succor. Now, we do have look at Luke chapter 8, we do have incidents of people who were not necessarily there, they were not called, or they were not spoken of people as they were preaching and teaching, but they were involved in the ministry of Jesus. Luke 8. I want you to listen very well to this. Luke 8. Verse 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. That's quite much. Verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of the chooser Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their own substance. So what they were ministering is not prayer. It's of their own substance. Just like Mary and Martha. In chapter 10 there, yep. Chapter 10, verse 38 to verse 42. Now in Acts 6 also, look at the folks that were picked. They were now called deacons. When were they called deacons? Who called them deacons? Were they called deacons in the book of Acts? Huh? Where they call deacon? Huh? Where do you find the word deacon? Huh? It was Paul who used the term, right? Okay. So, they were just called seven, whom we appoint over this business. Okay? Now, listen very well. What were they called to do? What they were called to do was a natural work. In the sense of, they were to administer food in daily ministration. But look at what the qualifications were. Full of wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost. Honest report. Full of wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost. Honest report. So as natural as it appeared, it was spiritual. There is no ministry that is still doubts the gifts of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Full of the Holy Ghost implies the utterance gifts. We will still need to ask how much participation you have been having in the things of the Spirit. I hope to God and I pray, you know, our church will keep maintaining that standard. Because you can be so much in a hurry and say, well, let us have people walk, Jerry. Let's just get the job done. I'm never a fan of just getting the job done. Let's get the job done properly. Because a major problem we have in the body of Christ is quantity over quality. Just go and start church. Say, well, we have to, you know, souls are perishing. They were perishing before you got born again. When you start that church, they will still perish. So it's an excuse to push an ambition. If I say I don't want souls to perish, and I'll take a new convert to go and start a work, why would they not perish eventually? They won't just perish, they will be extinguished. Because I have used quantity over quality. You could see how the church matured. There is always growth. Even Paul, he was called. It took years to go for the work where to have called him. What is the hurry about? Sometimes we have more body for souls than Jesus. And it's a lie. So, even at natural things, there are some basic things. Does he pray? He may have all the skills in the world, but does she pray? Is she known for studying God's word? Does she attend faithfully to the study group? I tell the pastor, I said, look, if you guys don't enforce this, you are destroying our ministry small by small. Because you want things should be done. Mm-mm. Don't just get it done. Get it done properly. Let the person doing it know that he has a spiritual responsibility. Church is not a place for you to be using your skills. It's for you to be filled with the Spirit using your skills. Using your skills is secondary to being full of the Spirit. Are you getting my point? So, the responsibility was natural, but it was still spiritual in the sense of what was required of them. Look at how Paul spoke about the deacons. 1 Timothy 3. Now, deacon can be our general term for things like choir. No, I won't put choir. Things like choir and prayer cannot be. Things like technical, things like the non-speaking part of ministry. Things like technical, things like security, things like, you know, ushering and stuff like that. Now, look at what he said. He says they must be full of the Spirit. He said they must be, you know, they want to distribute food. He should have said, check whether they are well built. Whether they can carry pots. That's not what he said. He just said honest people. Honest people. Not somebody who steals offering. Some people steal offering. Some people, if you send them to go and print flyers, they will spend the change. They are thieves. Born again thieves. Some, it's true. They just leak the money. Such men, you know, they are not honest men. Look at this. 1 Timothy 3. Likewise, verse 8. Now, he had told you what a bishop should say. Likewise, in the same way, the deacon must be grave. Grave means serious. Not somebody who is always making everybody laugh. And enter that boss. He's not a serious person. He must be grave. He must appear a serious person. Grave. Not double tongue. Not double tongued. Scoping three sisters in the same local assembly. Diversity of operation. Not giving too much wine. He has regulated habits. He's not a loose guy. Not greedy or filthy looker. And you don't look at what he says about this one, because these ones are going to handle natural things. This is the good report he's saying. Holding the mystery of the faith, we'll come to this one, in a pure conscience. So, primarily, deacons don't oversee people, okay? They don't. They oversee natural things. However, they must be well respected by people, spiritually. One thing you will see about this office in Helps Deacons Ministry is that it's a proven ministry. What did I call it? A proving is the best place to prove people. Don't start proving people from the pulpit. It's deceitful. If you can't wash the toilet, you won't teach well. If you can't arrange the love that you don't have to arrange chairs, you can't have to be a good pastor. I will never forget 1994. Went for a camp, a foundation camp. Myself and my friends were apostles. I said, where? Well, we believe, you know, we used to carry ourselves. We should, you know, as those days, I laugh. We'll go to, I remember I went to one meeting, it was Christ Embassy. That's him here. And when we go, we wear black suits. And then we wear, you know, this this usher, okay, that you cut it. You not put it on that. Stuff like this. Then wear ring. I used to wear two, I think one or two. I have one, I wear crucifix. Because you know Bible. That's the reason. Because you believe you know the word. Stupid. So, we now go like this. The apostles. So, now on Christ, I said, first timers, I was not part of them because I invited them. They all just got up. And they will now frown. Okay, said, who are these guys? That's why speaking in tongues loud. Stupid boys. So that went for this camp meeting. We had just done one program. So we, Uncle Ladele, who's like our father, he now called us. Said, Olaika, Tuchi, why you guys not up? Because we felt we just had a Holy Ghost meeting. Say, go and wash toilet. Well, looking at with the apostles of the lion and the lamb. A whole horse. Say, so he now dropped one clincher. He said, oh, your nurse cannot wash toilet, you get dirty. I'll never forget that thing better. I thought about it, I said, what's the pride in us? But God, I just felt that, you know. And it's a proven thing. If someone cannot, you can't, you have a program, you have some folks, Pastor Deboy, something I noticed about him, and I saw it in, like 4 times. Maybe he does all that, I don't know, but I saw it 4 times constantly. When you have a program, you go there a day before, and you personally see what they're doing, in as much as he won't, you know. But there's just something about getting involved, not like, you are not a commander-in-chief of the body of Christ. We are all servants. You, myself and you. I know there's this man of God thing that is in Nigeria that was brought from America, but it hasn't been shipped back. We now reformed in our own African mentality that the man of God, you know, the big Agbada, Kabiyosi kind of thing that we have in Africa, that he did, that must be obeyed. It's also in the ministry. We must be careful not to perpetuate it. So the deacons was a proving ministry. All the apostles, they served food, they did ushers. After healing the sick, they canceled with people, they went to buy food. Paul himself, they were going to send things from Antioch to Jerusalem. They now sent those who were teaching word. That they should not have sent, how can they send the man who just did 7 hours teaching and explaining epignosis of the gnosis of the ginosko? And it was what they were saying. Everybody's here to serve. So, the deacon's role is not a preacher or teacher. Just like we said, anti-lepsis is to support what others are doing. He's a helps worker. So he relates with the pastor in the local church. And the way the apostle in Acts 6:4, we will not leave the word of God and serve tables, verse 2, we'll give ourselves continually, verse 4, to prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay. So a deacon is not called to rule. Only the overseer or the pastor does this. Hence, the deacon does not have authority over the church, but over things. His duties are related to natural things alone. Now, if you're a pastor, always prove people this way. Over things. There was a guy like that. He told me, he has a burden to share. It was in Lagos years back. We had a pre-fellowship meeting. He won't come. We want to arrange this. He won't come. He wants to do this one. He won't come. But every time there's Holy Ghost meeting, he's always saying, every Holy Ghost meeting, he's always going, like a gaga. I watched him. We'll do this one. He will not be there. He won't give it. He will not give. So, one day we'll come back, let me sit down. Keep your bag and edify yourself. You know, you say, I want to share something. I say, hell will freeze over the day you preach here. Hell. It will be a cold day, hell. You can't be faithful. You're not faithful with giving. You're not faithful with arranging chair. You're not faithful with small. You can't be faithful. It's simple. Praise God. Don't be scared though. Just be faithful. It require helps. It can be. The singing that should be, now, of course, doing choir is our creation in the sense that we created people to do that. But singing in scripture is always everybody's responsibility. 1 Corinthians 14:26. We must all come with a psalm. Ephesians 3:16. So that's why I passed up before that I chased away the choir. There was time in this I was only lazy watching myself. Said you, I'll sing. My grandfather used to sing. My grandfather used to sing. My grandfather, my great grandfather, my father, myself. My children also sing. So there's nothing about your singing. It's not just to hear it. No, it's true now. I'll lead the song myself. Well, I think about it, I was not leading the song. I was not thinking to worship myself. Eh? Anybody, eh? I was on. Sing worship myself. What do you want to sing? Is it not God? Do you want to sing to Him? Will you reject my own? I'll go and sit down. Because of, you know, some music, they will owe the pastor to ransom. Not me. The congregation. Sing to yourself and to your God. Oshisko. Is there any merit? Let him sing something. Let him call the choir. James 5:13. And when they sing, because it can't be called helps, because the singing ministry has to do with teaching. Teaching and admonishing one another. Colossians 3:16. There's teaching in it. Hebrews 13:15. It's a very key part of ministry, and it mustn't be seen as a natural ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? As a pastor, never see singing as natural. It's a natural part of it because people use their voices and all that. But do not substitute that. Okay, do not substitute the spiritual import of music, of singing, with natural, just natural voice. That's why I will talk to those of you who sing. It's very easy. I tell Blessing this all the time because she's a superstar now. Because majority of your audience are likely to be carnal. It's not your fault. It's not the default model of the body of Christ. And the most attractive thing to them will be your voice. Meanwhile, your ministry is not the voice. It's what you are saying. So, what some singers, I was showing this to Pastor Lana, when we come from, I said, notice a particular singer. I said, his lyrics have changed over the years. He now said something that, you know, I never thought about it. I said, look at this guy. This guy sang this song. And he said, he needs to sell. He needs to make money. So he has to water down the thing so that it's applicable to all men. Jews, Gentiles, Pharisees, Sadducees. And I kind of thought about it when he said that. That's really funny. And it's the same problem some churches have. They water down their message so that everybody can come. Quantity over quality. You know, Jesus didn't need 1,000 people to know that he rose from the dead. But eventually, the whole world now knows. Don't go for quantity above quality. Don't hurriedly put people in responsibility because you want your church. It is true that the more we spread responsibility, the church will grow. But don't spread responsibility for spreading responsibility's sake. Spread responsibility because people are maturing in it. Is that very clear? So the music ministry, if you are in the music and you sing in church, know that it's a ministry of preaching and teaching on its own. Those who say that women cannot speak in church and they are needed to sing, I don't understand why, how they reason. Is that not preaching and teaching? So it's not just about skills, even if it's in the natural, and if you are in the music business as well, be very careful and cautious that you are not honing your skills to speak as much as what you are saying. Can you teach us? Are your lyrics filled with the word? And your lyrics cannot be filled with the word if you are not. So at what point should men, this part of ministry is important. That is that natural side is important because it's a proving ministry. It will prove you. It's a proving stage of the work of ministry. So what's this? I asked a question here. At what point should men be given responsibility to teach in the local church? Now, teaching should emerge from you growing in preaching and discipling. In other words, if I want to ask him to do something now, I'm supposed to watch him. Let me watch whether she disciples people on his own. Does he? Does he care for people on his own? Some guys are so hot, they are in a hurry to speak to crowds. They don't care what kind of crowd. Oftentimes when people are like that, watch it, they will compromise the message. So, that's by the way. So, you look at someone, is he faithful? Is he someone that is faithful? You are following up people to grow spiritually, what we call follow up, to disciple, and then you have just half convert, not half disciple. Decide, there's no pole there, and then you are looking for pulpits. Is that not the kind of thing you will reproduce all over the place? Are you following what I'm saying? You must not desire to teach as much as you desire to labor and to serve. Are you following? Okay. Now let's look at something quickly. Looking at things, we're talking about that deacon. 1 Timothy 3 again. Let's read verse 10. 1 Timothy 3. And let this also, are you there? First be what? Proved. Let them that use the office of a deacon being found blameless. The word prove is the word dokimazo. It means test to see. How do we test to see? We will test to see when they serve that they are blameless. All the apostles served. Same thing with Timothy. And you know, Paul was sending Timothy a message. Bring these books. Bring that one. He said, tell your associate, your HOD protocol. No, you yourself. That's ah, Pastor Paul, no got Timothy. Now. You need to be told you anything you said yourself. Because he's faithful. You get it. Faithful guys don't see an insult in service. It's those who have been looking for position that say, he's insulting my grace. Let it be proven that I use it. Verse 9 says, they must hold the mystery of the faith. Can you see it? They must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. What's the mystery of the faith? The word. So, that means there are men that are grounded in doctrine. And we prove them by service. They hold the mystery of the faith. When you hear the mystery of the faith in the epistles, it's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. They hold the mystery of the faith. Are you learning something? So, this is somebody that is going to undo things though. Are still going to see whether he understands doctrine. He's going to undo things though. Things. And yet, his understanding of scriptures. Hallelujah. So that's like HODs in churches. An HOD must be able to pastor a fellowship properly. An HOD must be able is so it's not that well this is your own ministry. I know you don't understand Bible. Just stay with are you following this? So it's a proven ministry. It's what? A proven ministry. We prove your faithfulness. We prove you in natural things. You will know faithful people in natural things. Money. Information. Relationships. Discretion. Emotions. You will know them. It's a proven ministry. So we test to see this deacon. Now, also, let me quickly mention this one. People have asked, what is between a bishop and an elder? Well, bishop and elder have been interchangeably used by Paul and the apostles anyway. The word bishop is from the word episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. It implies an overseer. One who watches. It's similar to a shepherd, a pastor. The elder is a mature person in ministry, definitely. So a bishop is somebody who oversees lives. For example, if somebody is appointed a cell leader in a church, he's a bishop. Just itself, bishop. So, the word bishop, like I said, is the word episkopos. It's someone who overlooks or looks at. Actually, it's the word to look at or to visit. To look at. So, is a bishop or an episcopal over people's lives? Let me give you scriptures for that. Luke 9:44 is the operative word. Acts 1:20 used for Judas and the others. 1 Timothy 3:1. 1 Peter 2:12. Look over. Okay? Then 1 Timothy 3:2. Titus 1:7. 1 Timothy 3:2. Titus 1:7. 1 Peter 2:25. Remember we looked at the word shepherd from there earlier. Alright? So it said bishop and shepherd. Bishop who is shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25. Acts 20:28. He called the elders. Okay, he called them elders. And he says, whom the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So, three words he used in Acts 20. He called them elders. He said they are shepherds. For men, remember? And he also called them bishops. Can you see it? So, who is a bishop? An elder. Right? All ministries are elders. Who is a bishop? A bishop is a pastor. Is that clear enough? Acts 20:28. And both the elders and the deacons, they function, or the bishops, they function in the local assembly. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. You'll find a woman who was called a deacon, though there's been a fight over it, that it's not necessary she's a deacon, whatever. Romans 16:1. I commend unto you, Phoebe, Romans 16:1, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Thyatira. It says that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she needs of you. For she had been a succorer of many and of myself. And that's what they do, to assist and to help. So, the person who serves in the local assembly, he serves on natural things. Natural things. Yet, must be required to be spiritual. Let me re-emphasize what I said earlier. Do not emphasize quantity over what? What is in the mind of the head of the church? Quality. Is this brother a disciple? I know ministers that in 3 months, they will make people pastors. 3 months. There was a guy who left this church for a church in Ife. He left, I think he left in October. By January, he was one of the pastors. Well, they called him HOD, but I said, how come? And he saw the gift in me. Quickly. A gift you did not use there. You know, but it's so funny. Quantity over quality. So he preferred that place because we didn't give him title here. Too bad. So he likes the place. I like the way they run ministry there. So it's fine. Keep running. It's a race. So the matter is this. I have signed out. I've never signed in on that kind of ministry. It's a long race. We're going to be here for a long time. There's no hurry. If you have been in the body of Christ long enough, you will have seen different moves. If crowd is moving you at this stage, you are here to meet Christ. You stay with the gospel. Right? Follow what I'm saying? Where are we? Quantity over quality. I don't say don't go for quantity, oh. Because some people, they don't go for quantity. All of them will never grow. God judge you. I didn't say that. You get my point. It's important that we don't use men to achieve our ambitions. Don't use men. It's when you look for quantity over quality, you're actually using men to achieve your own ambition. That's what you're doing. Are you following me? So, now let me ask you, the office of a deacon, is it a ministry gift? It's not. But the man in that ministry, is he expected to function in the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. But the deacon itself is not a ministry gift. You won't find that just at the end of up on high, then he gave deacons. Deacons are our own creation, as it were. They handle things. So Jesus did not put them over people. But we put them over things, yet we prove men who we put over things by seeing, over people by seeing what they do over things. The word gifts, Now the word gift, we have five. Let me just go on to that. The word gift, we have five. One is called Doron. Doron is what you give to a needy person. That is to give it to, is give it to support, is give it the benefits of the recipient. Doron, D-O-R-O-N. Everything is from grace, okay? But you have been used differently. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. By grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. The term gift of God there is Doron. Doron means something you give to like a poor person, to make the person sufficient. That's what Doron is. D-O-R-O-N. Then we have Dorima. Dorima stresses more on how it is given. How it is given. James 1:17. Every good giving and perfect giving is from above. Dorima. Romans 5:15, also the gift of righteousness. Dorima. Then we have Doma. D-O-M-A. That one deals more with the giver than the receiver. When it says he gave gifts to men, the word there is Doma, D-O-M-A. And you see that in that, he gave gifts to men. He himself is called the gift in verse 7. It's called a Doron in verse 7. So that means his gift reflects his character. We see him in what he gave, Doma. He gave gifts unto himself. That means he gave himself as a gift. Ephesians 4, verse 8. They have merismos. Merismos deals with distributions. How things are distributed. Hebrews 2, 4. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. Then the most commonly used, as it were, by Paul, will be charisma. It talks more of what it does to the recipient in the sense that it's a free endowment. It's used more for the work of the ministry. A free endowment. Romans 12:6, 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6. Romans 12:6, 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, and of course, 1 Corinthians 12:4. 1 Corinthians 12:4 and 1 Corinthians 12:31. Okay, I've mentioned Ephesians 2:8, right? Okay, good. So, now, the believer in the local church, what should be his participation? We have established something that people mature, they develop into the work of ministry. They develop. So, we'll now look at the general instructions. It's in the general instructions by Paul that you will find yourself developing. For example, he says, he has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. The question is, have you received it? He said he has committed to you the message of reconciliation. Are you about that? Or your eyes is on becoming something? Mm-mm. Your eyes should be on the work. Are you about that work? You have general instructions on prayer, for example. Prayer. Praying always. Ephesians 6:18. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray for us. Colossians 4:2. Be instant in prayer. Romans 12:12. It's in those ones that you are developing yourself into the ministry gift that you are. Because there's none of those instructions you will still not carry out, even if you're a pastor or a reverend or an archapostle. Everyone. So you are maturing yourself. Or you are receiving maturity. So in the general instructions, evangelism, prayer, also in your participation in the local church. In the local church, we've spoken about the office of the deacon. How do you relate with natural things? How do you relate with natural things like serving? I've worked with different ministries in my life. Friends, even till now, if I'm called to do anything, I don't see it as anything. I work. Serve. In any regard, I've done praise worship leader. There's no department I have not served. Except choreography. I would have done that as an unbeliever. I've served in all. Technical, this one, that one. You have just understanding faithfulness as a person. Some of you cannot, because you don't lay hands on a madman. Madman of all the miracles in the body of Christ. Madman. They now go mad. Y'all come and say, let's clean the floors. Don't you know that there is joy in us doing that in ourselves? Don't say, well, let's get people. There is joy. You know, in the body of Christ, and also in scriptures, that's in the early church, as we call it, they could have hired servants for those things. But why didn't they do it? The issue is that it is ministry to us. Are you following my point? It is ministry to us. Except areas where maybe we cannot do. But basic things like domestic things that we can do in church, let's do it ourselves. It's not that we can't hire somebody. The issue is that we are serving the Lord. You get my point? That's the point. We are serving the Lord. So, you get yourself engaged in all those things. For example, even the things of the Spirit. Participate in the local church. You are developing yourself. You are growing. In a sound local church, there won't be a problem in how you start. Like I say, the very first time that somebody told me, do you know you just gave the word of knowledge? I started crying. I did it. I said, it was one that told me it's the word of knowledge. I didn't know it was. He was not doing an emoji. We called the guy apostle. Yeah, so he just spoke by the Spirit. You are learning. Are you getting my point? First time they asked me to interpret tongues in a meeting. The tongues became so long that you think the interpretation would take 6 days. Maybe I finished by saying things like, I am good. I'm good. Don't doubt me. I'm good. But sometimes that interpretation is actually you yourself. Say, I'm good. Hey guys, I'm good. I'm joking. You're maturing. Amen. Some of these are pastors that always shakara you. You know what they were doing before. You will look at them and say, so you grow. Is that okay? I'm not talking about you guys. Be at peace. I'm told you not to. You know, when I started, I know they were already saying, when they saw I started with myself, they knew I was coming to them. But no, another day. So, but it just goes to say that we are all growing. You get my point. Because when you are growing spiritually, you are developing yourself in the work of ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I receive. Equipment for the work of the ministry. That's what it is. And I always say this. You don't need a title to function. You don't need a title to function. If you are serving the Lord, you are serving the Lord. You don't need a title to function. So when we come together like that, Paul already says things that can mature us. Now, let me say this, and this is important. The maturity of saints takes place more in the gathering of saints. It's not as much as your personal study at home. It works primarily when we come together. And that's why it's important to be at meetings. Because that is where that oversight takes place. That's where the oversight is exercised. The oversight is not exercised in your room. It is seen in the gathering of saints. So when we come together like that, you receive the word. You know, Timothy was known in the church. Paul was such confirmed in the church. Timothy's, the elders were found in the church. Paul, he began teaching. How did they first see Paul's teaching ministry? It was in the church. In the local church is a training ground. It's a training ground. Maturity goes on there. And the same thing about also with the things of the Spirit. Let's do more of those things. You know, the things of the Spirit. Giving yourself more to the things of the Spirit. Things like praying for the sick. Laying hands on the sick. A local church. And that has been my own vow for years. I said there will be nothing I will do. I said it many years ago. Well, not many, maybe about 20. I said there will be nothing I will do that I will not see people do that I pastor. Nothing. That I won't make the gifts of God exclusive because they are not. Nothing. So the local church is a place where we just keep maturing men and reproducing. So get yourself involved. See that prayer be there. Praying for the sick. Look at things that ministering to the sick is done in your church. You too be exercising yourself in it. And as a pastor, get people to be doing it. Get them to be doing it. Someone was telling me one day, he said, sir, I laid down on somebody, the person didn't get healed. I said, that happens to me too. I said, hey. I said, tell me, I'm not a TV package minister. Those that package on TV, they'll show you the one that works. The one that doesn't work, the camera will not get there. You thought Jesus healed all the sick? If he healed all the sick, the man at the beautiful gate. Well, it's been 40 years old. That means Jesus bypassed him. And he said, anywhere Jesus saw sickness, the anointing will just be attacking him everywhere. Sickness is there. See what I said? There are people that were not healed in Jesus' ministry. And where did they, like those people in Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, did they throw them from somewhere? they were always there. You get my point. But we keep maturing. Amen. We keep developing. Praise God. Keep growing. That's the essence of the local church. Local church is not a social club. It's where we now mature men for the work of the ministry. As we build ourselves, we're able to take the gospel in a much more fearsome way to the world. Because we are learning the acts and the act of ministry. So, things like prayer, ministering to the sick, get involved. Let me say this, as I finally start to close. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20 talks about not despising prophesying, you know, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, you know, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. That's an instruction for you. You must, there is something about believers' meetings. Holy Ghost means, and as pastors, we must cultivate it a whole lot. And I ensure that every year, you must have meetings that people just come and we stir up the things of the Spirit. It's part of the training we have. Teaching meetings must be well emphasized. Okay? Teaching meetings, prayer meetings, healing meetings, believers and Holy Ghost meetings as well. Well emphasized. What's going on? Apart from the fact that we are ministering to needs, we must also have it in mind that we are also training men. Are you there? We are also training men for the work of ministry. So I close quickly and say this. Things like laying on of hands. Laying of hands. Mark 16:15-17-18. We lay hands. Lay hands more. You should ask yourself this question. How many people have I gotten filled with the Holy Ghost? Why are we asking these questions? Because we know that our work in your life is to make you do what we are doing. And the only way you can do what we are doing is to do what we are doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, at an instrumentally graduating stage, but you must start doing it. You must start doing it. That's the work. The work of the ministry gift is not to become the superstar. No. I think we can see it now. We can all see it. It's actually reproduce himself. Reproduce them in the sense of the work of the ministry multiplied. Hallelujah. So, I'm done.